Once upon a time, there was a boy, and he was next to a lake that was frozen solid. He was so cold and so shivering, and you'd think what he was doing out there, out in the cold like that. But the boy was so hungry that he had cut a hole in the lake, and he was sitting there with a flimsy little fishing rod and a line, and he was fishing. You see, he was so starving that he was fishing. What a sorry sight he looked. What a desperate little picture he made. You might imagine he could sit there and freeze to death. But after a while, and by some miracle, his little fishing rod started to twitch. The line suddenly went tight, and the boy, who'd been slumped, suddenly snapped to attention and was pulling at the line with all he was worth. But whatever it was that was the other end of that line was very, very big. The boy soon, he was straining his back, he was digging in his heels and pulling for all he was worth. But whatever it was, the other end of the line was bigger and stronger than he was. In one terrible moment, the boy suddenly went splash, and into the water he went, line, fishing rod, and all. And as he was pulled down into the water, he looked ahead, and what did he see? He had somehow hooked the biggest fish he had ever seen in his life, a fish so big he had no idea there were fishes that big down there. It swam and it swam, deeper and deeper, pulling him all the way further down into the lake. And when he looked ahead, what did he see next? There in the distance, there was something shining, glowing with a golden light down there in the gloom. And as they swam ever closer, the boy looked, and what did he see? Down there at the bottom of the lake, there was a shining, sparkling, golden kingdom. And in the middle of that kingdom, there was a huge palace, all sparkling and made of gold. And that was where the fish was pulling him. Well, before long, the boy, he's standing before the king of the fishes. And the king of the fishes says, "What brings you to my palace?" And the boy, he says to the king of the fishes, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was so starving. My mother doesn't have enough money to buy food. I had hardly anything to eat. I was so hungry that I thought I'd come and fish in the lake." The king of the fishes stared at the boy and said, "So hungry? You don't have enough food?" "No," said the boy, "it's scraps and bits and pieces to eat every mealtime, and there's never enough to fill my belly."
"This," said the king of the fishes, "is terrible. Here, take this."
And he handed the boy in that moment a little bottle and told him that if he ever didn't have enough of anything, he need only sprinkle a couple of drops upon it, and he would have more than he could possibly want. Well, the boy, he thanked the king of the fishes very kindly, and he swam back up to the surface of the lake, and there he ran all the way home to his mother's house. Well, supper that evening was the same as it normally was. The boy sat at his table, staring down at a plate that had a couple of peas on it, a few long green beans, and a little scrap of dry bread. When his mother was out of the room, when she was busy in the kitchen, what did the boy do? He unscrewed the lid of the bottle, and he dropped a couple of drops on the food on his plate. And what do you know? What happened next was so astonishing that the boy almost fell off his chair. The peas, they began to multiply, pop, 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 until the plate was overflowing with them. The beans, they started to multiply, until the plate was full of them too. The piece of bread, why, it started to multiply. It went floop, 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 flo until the plate was full of bread and peas and beans, and there was so much food there, the boy couldn't eat it all. Well, the very next day, he went into school, and although he wanted to tell all his friends about what had happened, it just so happened that that day, all the kids in the school decided that he was the one that was going to be teased that day. And they were calling him names and saying nasty things about him, and no one would play with him, and he just ended up in the corner of the playground with his knees hunched up against his chest, thinking what a terrible day this was. Well, there was one little girl in that school who had a heart of gold and nothing could corrupt it. While all the other kids were teasing him, she wasn't going to have any of that. And she came up to him, and she asked him how he was and said what a rotten thing it was they were doing to him. And as he looked at her, he thought how lovely it would be if everyone treated him like that. And just then, he remembered the little bottle in his pocket. And when her back was turned to look at something else, he quick as a flash unscrewed the lid and dropped a couple of drops on her head. Why? It very soon worked. Before long, some of the children that had been teasing him turned around and came straight over to him and started to say all kinds of lovely things to him, started to tell him all the things they liked and appreciated about him. And it wasn't just them. Before long, other children had come until there was a great crowd around him, until every single child in the school was around him, wanting to be his friend, telling him how wonderful he was and how much they liked him. Well, the boy thought this a marvellous trick. And later that day, when he went home to his little house where him and his mother lived, that was all so ramshackle and all you could imagine a puff of wind might blow it down, he said to his mum, "Mum, can I have some money?" "Money?" said his mother. "You never get money. We've hardly enough money to feed ourselves. I can't go giving you money." He said, "Just one penny, Mum. Please, just one penny. I'll give it right back." Well, his mother didn't want even to do that, but the boy pleaded and persuaded that in the end she relented. And the boy took the penny, and he went up to his room, and he put it on his table, and he sprinkled a couple of drops upon it. And what do you know? Before long, his desk was overflowing with money. And not just dirty old brass pennies, but gold coins of the finest quality. Before long, his room was filling up with them, and they were spilling out the door and running down the staircase. Well, when his mother saw how much money they had, she went right off and bought a lovely house right in the centre of town with a lovely big garden and everything they could want. But the neighbours were suspicious, and word soon spread that this new family that had moved in had gotten their money in a way that wasn't quite right. And as the rumour spread throughout the town, the king soon got to hear about it. And before long, the boy and his mother were summoned before the king. Well, the boy, who up until this point had told nobody about the little bottle in his pocket, figured that the game was really up now, and he had to tell the king the truth. But when he told the king all about the little bottle in his pocket, why, the king just laughed and laughed and laughed.
"Ridiculous," said the king. "Whoever heard of such a thing?"
"It's true," said the boy. "It's really true. I'm not telling lies." The king only laughed louder and louder and louder.
"Well, if it's true then," said the king, "sprinkle some on my nose."
Now the king had an especially small nose. But the boy said, "Your Majesty, you don't want to do that."
"Oh, yes, I do," said the king. "This is all a load of nonsense, and I'm going to prove it."
Well, much as he didn't want to, the boy could see that the king wouldn't take no for an answer. And so he went up to the king, and he sprinkled a couple of drops on the king's nose. Well, what happened next was really rather awful. The king's rather small nose grew rather big, and bigger still, until it was so large that he looked quite perfectly ridiculous. Everyone in the room was doing their very best to smother the laughter, to not chuckle too loudly, for the king looked really quite absurd. "Make it go back! Turn it back!" said the king. "I can't," said the boy. "I don't know how." And the king, poor man, began to weep and weep. And as he gazed around the room, he could see all the guards, all the servants, even his loyal chamberlain, smirking and hiding their mouths and trying not to chuckle. And he said, "Now no one will respect me. No one. Everybody will laugh at me and say I look ridiculous." "Oh, I won't," said the boy. "I don't think you look ridiculous. Your nose is just a bit big, but I wouldn't laugh at you."
No, your majesty," said the chamberlain. "No, I wouldn't laugh at you either, and nor should anyone here."
And then the laughter, it died down and died down until there was just one guard left. And I don't know what it was, but he just couldn't stop laughing. He couldn't stop laughing. He chuckled. His body shook. It was just the funniest thing he'd ever seen. The king with his nose all grown so big and all.
"There, you see," said the king. "That man no longer respects me. He thinks I'm ridiculous."
"Well then," said the boy, "we'll see about that." And the boy went over to the guard who was chuckling, and he took his little bottle, unscrewed the lid, and he sprinkled a few drops on the man's head. No sooner had he done this than the little bit of respect that that man still held for the king, it grew and it grew until he wasn't laughing anymore. In fact, he was beaming back at the king and saying how much the nose suited him and how a large nose was really quite befitting for a man of his power and stature. Well, the king liked this very much and then told the boy to go round the room sprinkling his magic potion on everybody there, until all of them were saying how wonderful, how handsome, how magnificent the king now looked. Well, that was all very well, but no sooner did the king step out of that room than the cooks, than the gardeners, than anyone who hadn't been there would start to laugh at him. And so the boy was told to go through the whole of the palace, through the whole of the town, indeed through the whole of the kingdom, until there wasn't a single person remaining who had not been sprinkled with the boy's magic potion. And by the end of it all, why, there wasn't a single person in the kingdom who did not utterly respect the king, who did not think that the king was the most marvellous, the most noble, the most handsome king they had ever had the pleasure to know. But it wasn't just the king who benefited in this way. No. Because the people now treated one another with the utmost respect. They treated each other with such kindness that there was not a single nasty word spoken in that whole kingdom. There was nothing but kindness and respect, and everybody seemed to see only the very best in one another. Even if it were the tiniest thing, they would see it and speak of it as if it were the most important thing they could see. And there was such happiness and such peace and such prosperity in that kingdom that one day the boy went to the lake, and there he took his bottle and he decided he wouldn't be needing it anymore, and he threw it back into the water.